to read two different places. Starting Revelation's 12th chapter, and it says in the 10th verse, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And then if you want to turn over into the 13th chapter of St. John, and it says in the 6th verse, it says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhit, and ye are clean, but not all." When we were reading here in the 12th verse of the 12th chapter of Revelation, it says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." I don't know about you, but we've been listening to the news, and sometimes, you know, you'll watch stuff as it's developing for over a year, and you kind of think that things aren't going to happen as they do, and our father's been sick, and we've been here at church for two Sundays now, and he's not been here, and I've really been missing him, and it just gave me a picture of what things might be like in the future, and the way that our government's getting, and I think about myself as a little child, and my perceptions of our government, and I look in the face of my children and already have understood and realized that they're not going to be able to experience some of the freedoms that I've experienced, and surely no doubt the way our country's going, that if I live to be another 20, 25 years older than I am, that there'll be no doubt things that I won't be able to do, and my children and grandchildren won't be able to do, because the heart of men is desperately wicked. But here's the promise that we have, that we read in Revelations. The devil's running to and fro, scurrying about in a hurry, because he knows that he has not a very long time. That ought to bring us comfort, me and you. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I sense that it's pretty close. But one thing I do know, that I'm only 40 years old. No doubt I've lived over half my life. I've got less than half of it to live. And the Bible tells me that once we die, it's appointed unto man to die after this, the judgment. I've got a Savior. The Bible tells me I'm going to plead my case. Why? Because I'm one of His children. I'm thankful of each and every one of you that if you're living for the Lord, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we can rejoice with this heart that's shaking to and fro like a drunkard. I don't know where God's children will be, but I know that's where I'm going to be. I don't know when this world and all of it melts in a fervent heat, where God will be. Universe. But one thing I know, that I can be with Him.
something about the gathering around.
Not to be able to smile. Sometimes I'm not even aware of it. You don't even realize. You're going into town or something, and you're standing in line. There's a child there in the grocery car. Before you know it, you realize you're smiling at it. I don't know why anybody would want to take the life of an unborn child. You know what? Our president is a fine example of a man that's been blessed with the opportunity to live. You know what? There's a lot of white
with them back in the 60s and in the early 70s when they found out they had a black baby in their belly that they killed on. But because his mother, for whatever reason, though she might have said she believed in a woman's right to choose, she chose to let him live. And he seems to be so bent on killing little babies. Understand it, but one thing I know, that there's coming a day where we'll never hear, or where God will never hear the silent cries of an unborn baby anymore. We can think because we've never heard it, that it ain't nothing but you read back there in the Old Testament. The Bible says that if you're the outside the city, that had been murdered, that you investigate, try to find out who killed this stranger. And if you couldn't figure it out, if you didn't know that there weren't no witnesses, and there wasn't no evidence to it, that you was to make a sacrifice, the Bible says, so that it might quiet, as it were, the blood crying out from the ground. I wonder how many times can you imagine just one abortion doctor, just one politician, just one president as he signs his name to a bill. If you could just hear for a moment the blood crying out from all the unborn babies, it could surely deafen your ears. But we don't hear it. Keeping store. The Bible tells me that there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that my God's not aware of. And he sees every baby that reaches out trying to defend itself from that cold steel device that cuts it to pieces. That little baby that's struggling of being born. And a doctor piercing his skull with scissors. My God, why'd you let your judgment rain down on our country so that men and women might see that you are holy, that you're true, that you're a God that hears the cries of the unborn. That we are as a city on a hill. There's people in this world that says America is a nation. A nation for what is good and what is right. And I reckon in the past we've done good things. We have fought for those that couldn't fight for themselves. But it don't undo what we've been doing. Millions upon millions of unborn children. And what they say, everybody deserves health care. And we're killing little babies. My God, my God, have mercy. You say, there, what do you mean? Have mercy. Didn't you just say, I'm not the Lord, rain judgment upon our nation? Well, let me tell you, God can rain judgment, and in doing so, show mercy. There's kids growing up right now that's calling good evil and evil good. But if they see the judgment of the Lord coming this power, it'll be merciful unto them to know that there is a God. They're going to have to answer to him. Listen, I can remember when I was 12 years old, I laid in my bed at night afraid of going to sleep because I knew that if I did, I would die in the devil's hand. I knew that what I had done was I had warned my execution that I was mean, that I had been raised in a good home, and still yet I chose to do evil. I disobeyed my parents. I lied to them. I stole. I did this and I did that. And I knew that though I was sorry for it, there was nothing that separated me from my judgment that was to come. And I can remember laying in bed at night so many times before when I'd say my prayers, and now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, girl, I can't keep your soul. You got sin in your life. You're not one of my children. And I just think, well, used to bring me comfort and see why it was the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. I was raised in a Christian home. But listen, God Almighty ain't got no grandchildren. Bless your heart. Every one of us, you're going to make it to heaven. You're going to make it as a son or daughter of the Most High God. Surely, if there is anybody that could have been a grandchild of God, it would have been the grandchildren of my grandfather. Sit right in the church, heard the message time and time again. I prayed so plain, but just let's look for it again at my family. To my knowledge, I'm the only grandson that's in church. It's a proven fact. God ain't got no grandchildren. But He's made it possible. He brought salvation at each and every one's heart's door. Tonight, Wednesday, of all nights, you know what? If you study it out, the great revivals that broke out throughout our country, never happened on Sunday morning. It was either a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a camp meeting or some special meeting. Why? Because all the people there were there out of obligation. There was a week fix or whatever. You know what? We need a revival. I was walking out there yesterday, sowing seed, sowing a hay seed out there on the right, on the ground where I planted rye. And before I planted that, I planted green greens. And I don't know what's wrong with that patch of ground, but maybe it's just it's been only twice. But the one time we planted the green grapes, we had a real cold summer. And green grapes only does good when it's really hot. And then we cut the ryegrass in the ground a little bit late, so it didn't grow. And I want to tell you, it looks like there's one spot there, it looks like a calf lot, where the deer's trampled it in. But the other day I come down there, and I guarantee you there's over 30 turkeys out there, and they're just eating her off in the ground. And I was yesterday sowing, looking on that bare ground. I was thinking to myself, what we need, we need a break up the fallow ground. We've let the ground lay too long. What we need, Lord, is a revival. Read the Bible right. I don't see that there is going to be no great revival. The Bible tells me in the last days that men's hearts are going to grow cold. But I know as for me and you, the Lord can revive our heart. It might not break out in wildfire, but then again it might. Who's to say? But if it does, it'll be because God Almighty will stir in the hearts of men. But we need to break up the fallow ground. All we need to do as Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands, my head. Wash me all over, Lord. For the time is short. That brings me comfort. And the devil runs to and fro. Glory to God. It's because he knows the kind of shore. Listen, he ain't born again. That ought to make you worry. The Lord is coming back. If you're not going to the house tonight, if you ain't born again, listen to me. It's the same as if you heard the trumpet. For the Lord will come back for you. Us as Christians can rejoice. Why? Because God is in control. He's coming back for those who belong to the Lamb of God. You see where it seems as if that people think that, heard a man say that Christians were dangerous. He's wrote a book, he's an atheist. And then he began to talk about the Inquisition and then all of the Muslims and, you know, the radical Muslims and what they've done. And he more or less said religion in general is dangerous. You know, well, I beg to differ. You know, in the last century, there was more people killed by atheists than there was by religious zealots of any kind. If you look at what they did over in the killing fields and what the Khmer Rouge did, I can't remember the leader of that, Pol Pot's or what was his name. He killed I forget how many thousands upon thousands. Then you take Stalin and the man that was after Stalin that killed, they imagined millions of their own people. And these were people that didn't believe in God, that was trying to create a utopia in this world. Do you realize that's what's frightening when we hear about the government saying that everybody needs health insurance, everybody needs this, everybody needs that? It sounds like the same old that we've heard not only the communism, the communists talked about, but we had Hitler. Hitler said, wait, we could have a perfect society. All we got to do is get rid of a few of these Jews over here, rid of these gypsies, get rid of these Polish people and these there, and we can have a utopia. And they begin to kill people. That's what the Khmer Rouge did. That's what they did over there in Africa. That's what they, Stalin and them did. All we got to do is get rid of a few of these people and we can have heaven on earth. Well, listen, the Bible just has told us that if you're looking for heaven, well, then you need to look to the Lord. That's not going to be something created here in this present world. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and that's the only way it's going to take place. But we see where they're even saying it today in our country. What we need is this, and we need that. All it is, it's going to lead about to somebody saying that we will be happier. We'll be better off if those people over there wasn't taking up my air. We heard it this week. Somebody said the inherent problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of somebody else's money. And that's about the truth of it, ain't it? And sooner or later people's going to realize when they serve themselves, whether it's socialism, whether it's big, whatever you want to call it. When people get used to taking things that ain't theirs, sooner or later, they're going to start taking lives that ain't theirs. The Bible clearly said it time and time again, that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord knows it. And that's why he come to die for me and you, to save us from ourselves. And what we need today is to be washed clean. You know, the president, he's in the White House. He was having a meeting. It wasn't highly publicized. It was, the press corps wasn't invited. He was having a meeting with the prime minister of Israel. Tell him, because we're, as a country, or the president administration's all upset with them because they're building over there and on their own property. You know, sometimes I think that
We just stick our nose way too much in the business, in the affairs of other people. But you know, it's one thing to do it to somebody. It's another thing to do it to God's chosen people. And you know, I seen that and I thought, you know, who are we? We can't even pay our bills. And we're telling a small country that they ought not to build in certain areas. When in our own nation, they said that 25% of our of the houses, the mortgages in our country, people owe more than they're worth. We're giving foreign countries building advice. I don't know when the Lord will say it's enough. I don't know when He'll have put us in our place. The Bible clearly states that Babylon was raised up to bring judgment. They were a tool. They were a nation, a heathen nation, a nation more wicked than Israel at the time. And they were used to judge Israel. But they were just a tool. And when God was done with them, they were a nation no more. We've been blessed. Our country was founded on Christian principles. There was it was founded by a lot of devout Christians, and God's principles had a great influence on our nation. But you know what? It seems like more and more people want to get away from that. And you know, I look at the history of our nation, and we can say that we were truly blessed. We have some of the most fertile ground, some of the most expansive and vast natural resources of any nation in the world. There's nations that have more square miles, but their land is not near as fertile as our Great Plains. And it just, it all worked about. That the Lord looked at us and blessed us, and He's used us as a tool. But when the hammer thinks it's smarter than the carpenter, it's in trouble. And the Lord is going to show us sooner or later that He's in control. And I would encourage each and every one of you that you'd spend time in prayer and that you would do as Peter and say, Lord, wash me from top of my head to the sole of my feet. That if we have that attitude, instead of, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Matt, I understand, but you know, there's a lot of people today that, Lord, they won't even call them Lord. They'd say, no Jew's going to wash me. I don't need to be washed by any Jew. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell them Jews what they need to do, how they need to run their country. That's dangerous ground. We need to be crying out to is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus. And ask Him to speak to the hearts of our leaders that they might see their need to be washed. You know, we got a little spring branch runs down through the field. There's this one spot where the cattle cross it. They wait for me to feed them. And then when I come down there, they all cross. And in crossing it, they make it awful muddy. But you know, when the cattle aren't in that field, and then springtime when the grass grows, and that stream is as clear. You can see right down in the bottom. Matter of fact, it's somewhat deceptive sometimes. You'll think it's just ankle deep, and you'll step down in it, and it'll be knee deep. Because it's clear water. Well, you know, Satan, he don't want nobody to see anything clear. He don't want our young children to see that the wages of sin is death. So what does he do? He muddies the water. And convinces them that they need to be clean, that they need to wash in this dirty water that he's provided. There's a lot of people doing just that. I talked to some guys at work, and they realize they're seeing how things are going on in our country. One guy in particular, I can't remember, what is it? Is it 2012, I think? Is that when they're supposed to, the Mayan calendar is supposed to quit? Well, my understanding is it's just the end of a new age, but, you know, there's a lot of people running around saying that's going to be the end of the world. Well, he's seen that, and that's really bothered him. So he didn't become a Mayan, because I don't guess there's no Mayan Baptist or anything. But anyhow, he started going to church, because the end of the world's coming in 2012. And you know what? Unfortunately, I'm afraid that he's just picked a muddy hole to try to get clean in. And what the Lord has is so much better. The Lord don't tell us that we need to join a church, start going to church every night, and to all these social events, and get your kids to play sports in the church's sporting club, and to do this. What it says is repent. What the Bible says is for us to do, as Jesus Christ said to Peter. And if we're clean, just go ahead and read that, and then we'll close. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean ever with. Ye are clean, but not all. Everyone that was around Jesus Christ was considered to be followers of Jesus. But we know that Judas was there in that number. And unlike Peter, when the Lord told Peter that he could have no part with him, if I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me, Peter said, all right, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And but there was those, one in particular that night, that did not want to be washed clean by Jesus Christ and thought that his way was better. That 30 pieces of silver was a whole lot better than a basin of water. But if only he could have seen that what the Lord had provided would have changed his life. And what Jesus Christ offered was far more than those 30 pieces of silver. Let's get some songs sing. I want everyone here to realize that that sooner or later, that if we are living in the last times, or if we're not, the Bible teaches us a nation that forgets God will perish. And I don't know that. I'm sure that when Rome fell, that there was Christians, you know, if you study the history, that there was those that was persecuting Christians. The Christians got blamed for burning Rome, even though they didn't. But when Rome fell, that the citizens of Rome, every one of them suffered, whether they were Christians, whether they were pagans. And in any collapse or any failure, even just like with Germany, when it was being bombed, but there were some Christians that stood up against the Nazis, and they perished. And no doubt there was others. There were some that took part in the smuggling of the Jews, and those that were caught perished. And then there was a lot of those that just lost everything just due to the nature of the war and the shelling of towns and cities. And there's many a hardship that has to be experienced by every citizen within a country during its demise or its collapse. And I don't know if our generation will see that for our nation, but one thing we do know as Christians, that the Lord will watch over us and provide for us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we would escape unharmed or unscathed, but that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ Jesus. And we have that promise. And as Satan is fighting and running and more intent today than ever to destroy, to maim, to hurt, to kill, before the time is short, that we can rejoice in knowing that the time is short. And though we would have a prognosticator that says that the Lord ain't coming back for another 200 years, if we die tonight, it would be the same as if He came back tonight, for we will stand before God. My prayer is that everyone here will realize that they need a Savior, and that that only Savior can be Jesus Christ. Let's get some song to sing. Thank you.